And the reading is entitled, The Revenge from Jezebel. And Ahab reported to Jezebel, his wife, everything that Elijah had done, including the massacre of the prophets. And Jezebel immediately sent a message to Elijah with her threat. The gods will get you for this, and I'll get even with you. By this time tomorrow, you'll be as dead as any one of those prophets. And when Elijah saw how things were, he ran for dear life to Beersheba, far in the south of Judah. He left his young servant there and then went into the desert after another day's journey. And he came to a lone broom bush and collapsed in its shade, wanting in the worst way to be done with it all, to just die. Enough of this, God. Take my life. I'm ready to join my ancestors in the grave. Exhausted, he fell asleep under the lone broom bush. And suddenly an angel shook him awake and said, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and to his surprise, right by his head was a loaf of bread baked on some coals and a jug of water. And he ate the meal and went back to sleep. And the angel of God came back and shook him awake again and said, "Get up and eat some more. You've got a long journey ahead." And he got up and he ate and drank his fill and set out. Nourished by that meal, he walked for 40 days and nights, all the way to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And when he got there, he crawled into a cave and went to sleep. And then the word of the God came to him. "So, Elijah, what are you doing here?" This is God's word for us this morning.
Thank you, Helen. Let's pray. Living and loving God, on this day, this Remembrance Sunday, where we remember the horrors of war, pray that you would speak to us now through your word, that you'd bring us comfort and also challenge, that we might become more like Jesus for your glory and our good. Amen. Well, on this Remembrance Sunday, here's a question for us. What do we remember? And what do we forget? On Tuesday, we were out here in the cafe, a few of us with our international students. Lewis is here. And we were thinking about Bonfire Night, Guy Fawkes Night, the 5th of November. We were teaching these international students the rhyme, "Remember, remember the 5th of November." And I'm sure many of us could finish that off. 400 years, and we are remembering that event. We're in the middle, or the beginning, of a general election campaign. How many of the promises that are being made, the speeches that are being delivered, the pledges, how many of these will be remembered? How many conveniently forgotten? The sad reality of our politics, but also our personal lives, is that so often we forget more than we remember. And despite all of the effort and the noise, we end up back in the same places, making the same mistakes and facing the same difficulties. Well, the reading that Helen brought to us just now from 1 Kings chapter 19, it's on page 360 in the church Bibles. We're going to see this encounter with God that Elijah has. And we've been going through our series called Encountering God. We've been looking at different characters in the Old Testament and encounters with God, and asking, what can we learn from this person's encounter with God for my encounter, for my journey, for us today in 2019 here at Harborne Baptist Church? And it's ironic in a way that this is Remembrance Day, because Elijah begins this passage by not remembering. He begins by forgetting what has just happened. If you look at chapter 19, it's on page 360, the chapter before, chapter 18, Elijah has just seen, just witnessed God deliver his people miraculously, has just seen God in power at work in wonderful ways. We're about 900 years before Jesus here. The king of Israel is King Ahab, and he's not a good king. He's a king who has introduced all sorts of evil practices to the country. The worship of foreign gods, including Baal, and strong influence from his wife, the queen, Queen Jezebel, in doing so. People who were faithful to God had been persecuted and driven out and even killed. But in chapter 18, there's this encounter. If you've not read it or you don't know it, encourage you maybe later today to go back and read chapter 18 and see what happens there. But it is an amazing display of God's power and his stepping in to show the people that he is real and he is with them. And yet, chapter 19, verse 1, the king, King Ahab, tells his wife everything that Elijah had done, this wonderful victory that God had achieved. And the queen sends a death threat to Elijah. And when Elijah hears about it, he runs for his life. And so the question I've got to start us off with is this: why doesn't Elijah remember? Why does he fail to remember what has just happened? And there's several reasons, I think. Firstly, he's afraid. He's afraid because this queen has a track record of persecuting prophets, and he is afraid. He is surprised. This attack came at a time when he was on a high. He was on a spiritual high from this wonderful victory. And suddenly this attack comes in that surprises him. And he is tired. At the end of chapter 18, he's run from Mount Carmel to Jezreel. That's about 18 miles. I don't know the last time you ran 18 miles was. But I understand from others that it's tiring to run that far. He was exhausted. And so fear and surprise and tiredness cause Elijah to forget what has just happened, to forget that God is love and grace and compassion and powerful to save. And he runs away and ends up under this broom bush or juniper tree in other translations. And there he is, wanting to just give everything up. So on Remembrance Sunday, we have a case study in forgetting, in not remembering before us. So we're just going to spend a few moments before we share communion together in looking at how does God transform Elijah's forgetting into remembering. And three things just briefly have stood out for me this week. The first one is this, that God meets Elijah as Elijah is giving up. Verses 1 to 5. This is where God meets him as he is giving up on God altogether. You notice that as Helen was reading it for us. And just that in itself is enough just to spend the rest of the day or the week or the month reflecting on. That God meets Elijah as Elijah has had enough and is giving up. Elijah expands a bit more later in the passage why he feels this way. If you look down to verse 10, he says this, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites, they've rejected you. They've put your prophets to death, but I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. And he has had enough. He has reached rock bottom and he is giving up on this whole thing. And maybe this morning there's some of us here today who feel a little bit like Elijah, feel a little bit like giving up, who feel that life has disappointed us. We thought things would have turned out differently to the way they have. We may be tired. We may be annoyed with other people, with ourselves, maybe even with God. We may be saying, I've had enough, Lord. I've had enough as we're here today. And at that point of feeling that we may give up on work or faith or family or friends or church or God. And for some of us, I know a day like Remembrance Sunday is not an easy day. It can be a day where we're reminded of people we have loved and lost. And if that is you today, I want to really encourage you with this message that God meets Elijah at the very point when Elijah has reached the end of his resources. And what a reminder to us this morning that our faith, our God in this Bible, is not a faith that's based on my ability and my strength and my goodness. God reached out to Elijah. Elijah was not in a lovable position. He's giving up. God reaches out to him. And how much more God has reached out to us in Jesus, as we remember today. Born as a baby, living amongst us, dying on the cross, rising in power and glory, so that you and I need not give up. At the very point of our needs, God's stepping in to give us life and hope and future in place of our giving up. God is reaching out to us as he reached out to Elijah. In the point of our deepest need, as Elijah's giving up, God meets him. Secondly, more briefly, God meets Elijah with physical refreshment. Verses 6 to 8 in the passage there. You notice the first thing God says to Elijah, get up and eat. Get up and eat. There is freshly baked, can't you sort of smell the bread off the hot coals that's baking by him? Water and then more sleep. And when the angel comes back in verse 7, what does the angel say then? Eat some more. Eat some more. Physically being refreshed. God is dealing with Elijah's physical exhaustion with physical solutions. And it wasn't a quick fix. Elijah travels on to Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, same place. That's about 40 days he took to get there, about 5 miles a day. Now, for a guy who's just run 18 miles, 5 miles a day is pretty leisurely pace. This is a gradual recovery that Elijah is being taken on, and his strength and his health returns as God builds him up with this food. I find it so interesting that God deals with Elijah in this very practical, down-to-earth way. The thing you need most, Elijah, right now, is sleep and food and drink. Last week, Nathan talked a bit about spiritual disciplines, about prayer and fasting and solitude. Well, we could add another one to the list. Sleep. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is take a nap. There you go. Take that away for Sunday afternoon. Sometimes that is what we need. Physical recovery. And sometimes we might overlook that. We might imagine that that's not important to God. And we see in this passage, no, God meets Elijah with physical refreshment. Now today we are about to take physical refreshment in this bread and this wine. We see that as God's provision for us. But when we go home from here, friends, I hope all of us at some point today will eat some more and we'll rest some more and we'll have other opportunities for physical refreshment. Let's see those today. Not as something different to our faith and what God has for us, but as God's good gifts to us in that food, in that rest, in that refreshment. When I was in Thailand a couple of weeks back, I stayed at a place called the Juniper Tree. And it's a charitable foundation taken from this passage in 1 Kings chapter 19. It's a resting place for Christian missionaries working in Asia. And Christian missionaries come to this place. They let me in for whatever reason, but it's mostly missionaries who are there. And it's a wonderful place to rest and relax. And the next picture, just in the heat of the sunshine, these places of shade to sit and rest and pray and have people pray with you, and wonderful food and other things provided in that place, the Juniper Tree. On Thursday, I was coming here. We had a welcome meal, which Barbara Ann was cooking wonderfully for, and it just hit me as I was coming here to church on Thursday. What if God is calling us to be a juniper tree, a place where people come when they've reached sort of rock bottom, when they are exhausted and worn out, and they come here. And what do they find here? They find rest. They find shade. They find, yes, food and drink and a shoulder to cry on and an ear to listen and somebody willing and ready to pray with them. To be a place where people encounter God as Elijah encountered God under the juniper tree. What might that mean for you and for me to be people who are providing that kind of care in God's name here at Harborne Baptist Church? God meets Elijah with physical refreshment. And finally, God meets Elijah in a gentle whisper. We didn't read this bit, but if you read further on in this passage, when Elijah gets to Mount Horeb, he goes into the cave and God speaks to him. God speaks to him not in the winds, not in the earthquake, not in the fire. We were at a fireworks display last night. Just so much noise, so much light, so much banging around us. But God was not in that kind of display. God was in the gentle whisper. And this is what God said to Elijah in that gentle whisper. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? And it's a really good question for Elijah. Because just days before, Elijah was on a different mountain and God was displaying his power in a wonderful way. And then Elijah ran away. He ran away. Why are you here, Elijah? God is speaking gently but searchingly into Elijah's heart, asking him, what is it that is on his heart? And he then unburdens himself with all of the woes that he's carrying with him. A gentle whisper. And God responds. If you read on to the end of chapter 19, God brings him reassurance. You're not alone. He thought he was, but he wasn't. God recommissions him and sends him back the way he came to do the work God had called him to. In the gentle whisper. Now, we were here in church and Mike was leading us on Wednesday evening at our church monthly prayer meeting. And one of the things Mike challenged us with was this. In such a noisy world that we live in, how are we going to hear God's voice? And when God speaks in gentle whispers, how much more challenging? Where do we need maybe to turn down the volume, turn down the noise that's around us, to be attentive to God's voice, to find times that we can be still and quiet and say, as Samuel says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, that is different for every one of us in this room. We all have different situations of family and home life and work and so on. But can I challenge you this week to take this with you? God meets Elijah in a gentle whisper. What is the space this coming week where God could speak to you in a gentle whisper and you would hear it? This coming week. You see, Elijah is in a place where he has forgotten God's goodness. He's forgotten God's goodness because of fear and surprise and tiredness. And in that place of giving up, God meets him with physical refreshment and then with this gentle whisper of comfort and redirection. What are we remembering today? What are we remembering today? It's not war that we're remembering today. It's not military might, it's not armies that we're remembering or glorifying today. We're remembering sacrifice. We're remembering how people laid down their lives for others. Jesus said, didn't he? Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down one's life for one's friends. As we lead into communion, I want to leave us with a few words from a TV interview. And I was just thinking this just now. Jackie brought this to my attention on Friday, that God speaks in a gentle whisper. And in all of the noise of everything that's going on around us, maybe this man who spoke on TV on Friday was speaking God's message to us in this whisper. His name is Harry. He's a D-Day veteran, 94 years old. And he was being interviewed on the BBC Breakfast programme on Friday. And he was asked what message he has for young people. And just listen to the response he gives, if we just watch this now. Thank you.
If you were to give a message to young people today, when it comes to making sure they know the history, but also the lessons learned, what would you say?
Well, there's a lot of youngsters come up to me and give me money for the memorial. But they don't, beyond all comprehension about the D-Day, I hope that they will learn to love one another. There's a lot of hate in the world, a lot of greed, and a lot of this nonsense. Don't worry about that. When King George VI, my sovereign that I served under, all my medals here at George VI, was a wonderful man. George VI was a kind man, an understanding man, and he used to have a day of prayer. It's a pity, really, we don't have a month of prayer because we've got so much to thank God for. They have no time of God, and I don't think we should ever come round. Turn back, O man, for swear thy foolish ways. We've been stupid. We're so clever, we could blow one another up. But you don't love one another. That's the strongest thing on earth. Love is stronger than death, and he's coming back. Our Lord Jesus said he'd be back, and he will. And it says in the Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That's what I believe too.
They had to... It's not often that you get Gospels and Revelation 21 quoted on BBC in the morning on a Friday, but there he was, God speaking powerfully, I think, through that man and his testimony this past Friday. And what did he say? What did he want young people to know? We're all young compared to Harry. Love one another. Love is stronger than death. And Jesus is coming back. We're going to sing, Here is Love, Vast as the Ocean, Loving Kindness as the Flood, When the Prince of Life, our Ransom, Shed for us His precious blood.